From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
And I'm Travis Fain, WRAL's State House reporter.
Today we got, well, good news, however you cut it, I think, whoever you are, the state budget, the revenue forecast is in. And I heard some people saying they thought it might be a little higher than it turned out to be, but it's still pretty high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. It's, what, $6 billion above what they thought last
surplus.
Year?
Surplus, yeah.
And, I mean, any way you want to slice it, it's a lot of money. And sometimes that makes things easier. And sometimes that makes things harder.
More money, more problems.
That's right.
You know, so of course the question is what to do with the money. A lot of it, it can't all be one-time money. Some of that's got to be, money that's recurring income. But I'm sure that's what they're working on right now. And actually, that's one of the reasons that we did not get a vote today on these bills we've been watching kind of closely. Those three election reform bills that were in the Senate today that were supposed to be on the floor this afternoon. We heard Senator Raven say that our highest... Raven, say that it, whichever it was, we heard somebody explain to us that the folks who were involved with those bills are also involved in the budget decisions, and they're trying to get their budget out next week.
Yeah.
So they're trying to hurry up and make some decisions here, and I'm sure a lot of those calculations are going to be part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, the governor put out a release today saying, look, this is enough money to do your tax cuts, which I don't like, by the way, and to fully fund my budget, so let's kind of make a deal. Senator Berger putting out a statement that said something along the lines of, when you have this much money, it doesn't mean that you got more money to spend. It means that you are taxing people too much. It doesn't mean that you're spending too little. It means that you're taxing too much. So they're kind of your lines in the sand. And Speaker Moore putting out a statement.
People might disagree with that.
Speaker Moore putting out a statement along the lines of, Republicans are great. That's why we get so much tax revenue in this state. North Carolina's great. Everything's great. Republicans, by the way, are great.
Okay. So we're clear.
Those are the lines. Those are the battle lines that are drawn here.
In the meantime, I did want to go back to the elections bills that were going to be in the Senate tomorrow now. They're going to be on the Senate floor. There are three of them. One of them that's kind of the most contentious is the one that would move the deadline for the return of absentee ballots to deadline election day. Right now, okay, so in 2009, all of these guys, Democrats, Republicans, everybody voted unanimously to add this three-day grace period. So your ballot, your mail-in ballot would have to be postmarked by election day, but it could be received by the county elections board up to the Friday of that week. So like, basically for mail delays like we saw this year. About 11,600 some ballots came in during those 3 days in 2020.
During that particular window, yeah,
yeah,
last
that particular
year.
Window. But they're saying that, to people, number one, the Republicans are saying they need to restore integrity because people think it looks fishy when vote totals are changing after election day. Well, they would anyway because of provisionals.
Yeah, all those people that fully understand the election process.
Okay.
Yeah, and number two,
they say that they want the results faster, which, again, with provisionals and overseas, I'm not sure in a close election that you're going to get that. Anyway. So that's, in the meantime, we had yesterday voting rights advocacy groups and then today Senate Democrats speaking out against those bills, saying that they would amount to throwing away ballots to the extent that those folks presumably wouldn't know about the change and would, still send it in after Election Day, and basically accusing the Republicans here of sort of perpetuating what they are calling the Republican playbook on a national level, which is the idea of what they call the big lie, which you've heard before. It's the idea that former President Donald Trump and a lot of Republicans have been promulgating, that the election was rife with fraud in 2020 and things that need to change in the election process to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and what you have here, Republicans kind of picking out a fairly incremental change in response, I'm assuming, to members of the party's base who are, rabble on that, solidly behind the former president on, the big lie is not wrong. It is a lie. Things fine.
Yeah.
And then you have the Democrats on the other side kind of responding to this incremental change, but not just on what the words are on the piece of paper, the 3 days, it's everything else, right? It's the president. It's the fact that people don't trust election results when there's really no reason not to trust election
right.
results. It's the last 10 years.
I was going to say, it's the last 10 years of attempts by Republicans to change election laws to sort of tighten down on, again, allegations that there's fraud and, you know, voter theft and, you know, that, no, there's not actually, but yeah.
Well, and, you know, I was thinking today how much talent and brain power we have spent in this state over the last decade fighting over fairly incremental changes in our voting laws, fighting over redistricting. You know, what if all these brilliant attorneys who are filing suit year after year and all these brilliant lawmakers down here who are working, what if we just didn't fight over these things?
Well, it does beg the question why it was filed.
Sure.
I mean, you know, they say, well, more than half the states actually are, excuse me, have election day as the deadline for accepting their mail-in ballots. But Democrats point out, rightly so, that a lot of the states are moving in the other direction. They're moving to the three-day grace period. So I think that's the argument, you know, they're going to get at. There's a couple other bills out there. One of them would ban county elections officials or state elections officials from accepting charitable donations. And the other one would make it easier for people to get a photo voter ID.
Yeah, it's like a mobile unit to give you
aren't required yet.
To give you an ID. Yeah, I mean, it's in preparation. There are a couple of trials that are, well, one trial that is in the books and we're waiting to hear back from the judges, and then the federal trial against photo ID that starts in January. But, I mean, I think the handwriting is on the wall that eventually North Carolina is probably going to have photo ID.
Of some kind.
Of some kind. And so this is to move that forward. And, we'll see what happens. You know, Republicans pointed out that this requiring ballots to be in on Election Day, there are a number of states run by Democrats that have that rule. So how can it be so bad, that, as mm-hmm. Democrats argue? But, you know, once you do something to make voting easier, rolling it back is always going to be. It's going to be a challenge. You would assume the governor would veto this. Voting access to the ballot box is such a flashpoint issue right now.
Especially after 2020.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, look, we'll be back where we started, and we'll fight about it again next year.
Yep.
Cool.
In the meantime, you finally got your hands on something you've been trying to track for a long time, and that is the long-awaited energy omnibus bill, the plan. And you said this has sort of been put together behind closed doors.
Yeah, this is it. It's 50 pages. It's long. It's dense. I don't know if y'all know this, but I am not an attorney specializing in utility law. So I don't know really what this means. I'm asking smarter people than me to read it and tell me. Unfortunately, it was kind of released late in the day today.
Hit us with your DMs. Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was negotiated. Duke Energy was involved. Manufacturers, retailers who are big power users, they were involved. The solar industry was involved. Environmentalists were not involved.
I was about to say, I don't think all the stakeholders were there on that one.
And what it does, according to some talking points that were distributed to us by Republican lawmakers who are working on the bill, this is a House bill, by the way. It had been handled in the House. Say it will reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 61% by 2030 compared to the 2005 baseline. Now, the governor's plan is 70%. That's an apples
right.
to apples. But the bill also says that it's consistent with integrated resource plans already on file from Duke Energy and other power companies. Not sure how you can meet that IRP, but also do the 60%. It has multi-year rate plans, which was something that was controversial, what was it, 2 years ago?
Okay, so I was wondering what the utilities are getting out of this.
The ability to do multi-year rate plans, but with some more guardrails, I believe, than we've discussed about in the past. There's some language in here that looks to me, again, not a utilities attorney, looks to me to make it easier to do grid mod. This is a massive investment, billions of dollars, that Duke Energy wants to put into changing the grid, the power grid,
right.
which customers would be charged for. And there are a number of other things in there as well. But, I mean, bottom line is they say it's going to help retire coal plants faster and, secure a more green energy future. And, again, the solar industry was involved. The devil's in the details. We'll see as the days go by what this bill does. And, of course, it may morph as
how it gets changed in committees and mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, you know what the Cooper administration and the environmental folks have to say about the Democrats. So
yeah, and also today, I'll mention real quickly, the RGGI, Reggie, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. This is cap and trade. A number of states do this where, like, you have to buy the right to put carbon into the atmosphere if you're an electric company. There are 11 states that are involved in this. North Carolina took, like, a baby step toward doing that today. There was a vote that might lead to another vote.
I was about to say, it was a committee of the EMC, right? The Environmental Management Commission. A committee of that commission has recommended that the EMC join Reggie.
So a long way to go, but we're kind of at a crossroads on energy policy in the state, right? Because we got this bill, and it's kind of the culmination of years of conversations. We've got the Atlantic Coast Pipeline that was canceled last year. We've got this discussion about Reggie. The governor did an executive order on wind a week ago or so.
Yep.
Solar, I think it's fair to say it continues to grow. Although I did hear from the governor the other day in a podcast that he did, we're now number three for solar in the country among
somebody
the states.
Somebody got ahead of us.
So somebody got ahead of us. So, you know, whether we're growing year over year, I'm not entirely sure. But, I mean, that is an industry that has a strong foothold in North Carolina. So, I mean, think of this bill as kind of a stage setter for the next half to full decade of what energy policy will look like in North Carolina.
Coming up tomorrow, well...
Not much, I think.
Not a whole lot. I did forget, though, we need to go back for a second and talk about last night.
Okay.
Because last night was, if you're a Raleigh person, you're probably paying attention to this, and if you're not, you should be. So a bill went through the Senate last night. The Senate did concur in the House's changes to the bill we were telling you about last week, and that's a bill that would move municipal elections to next spring. Okay, period. Except for a couple, and that would be the City of Raleigh and the CMS School Board would have theirs extended for a year. So that now the City of Raleigh, we're told the Raleigh City Council made this decision behind closed doors and then brought it over to lawmakers, and voila, within hours it was passed by the House and is now on its way to Cooper's desk. So they did concur in it last night, but the Whig Democrats voted against it. And, you know, Senator Blue got up on the floor and kind of said, you know, I understand what the rationale is for doing this, but I just think people should have had an opportunity to actually have a discussion about this instead of just having it sort of, you know, pushed into a bill and, you know, fast tracked through. So that one they did concur with. They didn't concur with a couple of other bills. And one of them is, you might remember the House had a bill that would have cut the $300 FPUC, that's the federal unemployment pandemic sort of bonus benefit. They wanted to get rid of that. And in a bill that they passed in the House, the Senate said no to that. They failed to concur. It's not surprising because the House last week failed to concur with the Senate's idea to do reemployment bonuses. So I think we've just had a, you know, shots were fired and landed on the opposite sides.
And yeah, and I mean, it's all wrapped up together, right? It's unemployment bonuses and what to do with that.
FPUC. And
tax policy is in there. The Paycheck Protection Program, you know, whether or not people should have been taxed on that last year. So, I mean, this is all...
PPP.
It's all in a stew.
Yeah. It's all honest, so it's hard to say when that's all going to resolve itself, but I did want to mention that. And as we say, tomorrow, as a press conference with Representative Zoka at 3 o'clock, he's going to be talking about his bill that would make, I think, okay, veterans in the state would be exempt from state income taxes?
It would certainly cut taxes for veterans in the state. I think exempt them totally from state income tax.
Okay.
I'm not certain of that, but I think that's an idea that's been around.
It has. It's been floated, and what we've heard time and time again is, well, you know, we can't afford sort of these carve-outs, you know, because that's long-term income. Well, they're making a bunch of pretty wide cuts this year, so it may have a better chance this year than it's had in the past. Aside from that, there's not a whole lot going on tomorrow that we know about at this point. It's a little early for them to get their calendars out. But, of course, you can always tune in tomorrow night, and we'll catch you up on what happened here on The Wrap.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.